We're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Kshetre kyam chapi mandiri sarva kshetri sabharasta kshetra kshetra kyayur jnanam yatstat jnanam matam mama.
O Sayana Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies, and to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion. So first of all, we are the knower in our bodies, isn't it? We are experiencing like that. You can feel something here, there, a pleasant sensation, taste good, something unpleasant, some pain or whatever. So we know what is going on in our bodies. So in that way, we are kshetrakya, the knower of the field of the body. But then Krishna says in this verse, I am also kshetrakya, I'm also the knower of the body. So when we are studying the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we find that there are two knowers of the body described. The one is the proprietor and the other one is the cultivator. So in this way, our role is the role of the cultivator of the field. So the cultivator of the field, he works hard on the land. He's not the owner, but anyway, he works on that land. So he takes some grains home and no owner will make an issue of that. But when he takes an entire truck, then it becomes trouble. Because ultimately he's not the owner. So in the same way, this is life. We can take something from our activities, some fruits of our activities we require to live, to survive. But then there's a level beyond. And that level beyond, that belongs to the proprietor, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Somehow or other, this is the forgotten science in the world. Once, this was followed strictly, and we see that at that time, so many temples were constructed. Now we're talking about constructing one temple. But you go to a place like Jaipur, they say 25,000 temples in Jaipur. That's the number the people, local people tell me. Maybe they make it a little more, you know how things are. But even then, right? Even if it is little less, whatever it is, 1 lakh. No, whatever number, this is a huge number of temples, you will see. Everywhere. So much money to build all these temples. Where did it all come from? Now, with big endeavor, we build one, but then so many temples were built because everyone was giving. That was the culture, you see. So all that has changed is the culture. And with it, also the amount of spending money that is available to us also becomes less. Previously, everyone had a nice piece of land. Now you're lucky if you have an apartment with a little balcony. Oh, I have a balcony. That's very luxurious apartment. He has a balcony. Very good. So like this, everything is getting smaller, really. Our facilities are shrinking with time. Why is it so? Because our piety has also shrunk, see. Because our sense of proprietorship has grown. Because we have too much become rooted in the consciousness of I and mine. This is my property. Yes, this is my place. But no, we are the cultivator. And therefore, some little I can take. But then the rest for the Lord, for the Lord. And give generously for the Lord, and when we generously give for the Lord, everything will be supplied. everything becomes possible. Mm. We see that the six Goswamis, they are famous for their renunciation. Chacha Purnanda Se Samandala Patisri Nim Sadhatu Chavat. They were very wealthy. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had earned a lot of wealth from the government service. Many boats were filled with gold and jewels and so on. So boats with gold is a lot of money, obviously. So they were undoubtedly very wealthy. But they gave up all that wealth. They gave up all that wealth and settled in Vrindavan. And when they were in Vrindavan, they lived every night under a different tree, not even staying under the same tree, so that no attachment would develop there also. My tree is a very, very nice tree. I saw one sadhu living under the tree, and on one branch he had a cloth hanger with kurta hanging, other side his gamcha was drying. And, you know, a comfortable tree, like with everything there, you know, the fridge inside, everything. Comfortable tree life. But the six Goswamis were not living like that. Every night a different tree, also like that. So they were very, very renounced. They would not collect every day. They would not go out to collect. They would live very simple. They get little chapati dough, because it was Vrindavan and people eat rotis. So they would get some dough, okay, some atta, and then just make some balls and throw them into the ashes and cook them like that. They're eating like this. Very simple. So it is said that somehow or other, though, we see that these Goswamis constructed huge temples, all of them, in spite of living so renounced, so simple, having such little income. How did they get such big temples? It all came on the strength of their purity. Krishna supplied. We know very well that the deity of Madan Mohan was previously worshipped in Mathura by one Brahmana named Chaube. But this Brahmana Chaube was not very strict according to the worshipping, according to the rules of Pancharatriki. He was worshipping the deity in a spontaneous way. He had many children, and he would sit down his children in a line to feed them, and he would put the deity also in the line and give the deity also its portion, the same portion like all the other children. And like this, every day, Krishna was getting his offerings. And then one night, that Brahmana had a dream, and in the dream, the deity spoke, and the deity said that this tomorrow, Sanatana Goswami will come, and I want to go with him, so you please give me to him. And Sanatana Goswami, when he heard that this deity was worshipped in such a way, you know, like sitting with the children, that this cannot be. So he went there to ask for the deity, that they said, you should give the deity to me. And since the Brahmana had a dream, he gave the deity. So then Sanatana Goswami took the deity. So when he had a deity, then at night he had a dream. And in the dream, Krishna came and said, actually, I was very happy with that Brahmana to be one of his children. It was very nice. But all right, now that I am under your care, and you know so well how to do everything properly, please worship me properly. So Sanatana Goswami then made arrangements. And he was offering these rotis to the Lord. So The Lord was quiet for some days and taking these rotis, but then one day the Lord couldn't tolerate any longer. And he said, "Can I have a little salt?" You know, just some salt. And Sanatana Goswami said, "Oh, what is this? You know, we are renunciants, right? Now you want salt, you know, you want salt, then you will want achar, and then you will want so many things with your roti. And before we know it, it's a full thali."
No.
This cannot be. We are renunciants. You have to settle. We have to accept whatever we receive. So Krishna was looking. So not so much later. Not so much later. There was a storm in Vrindavan, big storm. And in those days, they didn't have a dam in Delhi that would keep all the water of the Yamuna in Delhi. So in those days, the Yamuna in Vrindavan was quite big, actually, and ships were plying on the Yamuna in those days. So there was a ship, and this ship was on the river Yamuna just when the storm came. So due to the wind, that ship got pushed onto the sandbanks and it got stuck. So in Vrindavan, you know, if you had any problem, the people would say, "Go to Sanatana Goswami, because he knows the answers to all questions." After all, he had been the prime minister before, so he was very intelligent. So everyone would go. For either spiritual or material problem, they would just go to Sanatana Goswami. So in this case also, the owner of the ship came and went to Sanatana Goswami. So he said, "What to do?" So Sanatana Goswami said, "Pray to Madan Mohan." I said, yes, we are praying, but, you know, at the same time, our boat is stuck, you know. Sanatana Goswami said, "Well, you can pull in this and this direction, you pull, and then you pray." Okay, so they did, they pulled, in the direction that he said, and the boat came off the bank. So then the owner was very, very happy, very happy. And he said, and he came back later, and he said, "How can I serve you? How can I serve you, Maharaj? What can I do for you?" And Sanatana Goswami said, no, "I don't need anything, but if you want to do some service, you can build a temple for Madan Mohan." And then this man named Kapoor, he was actually a Kapoor, the Kapoorji said, yes, "I will build a temple for Madan Mohan." You know, and his boat, you know what was in his boat? Guess. What was it? Salt. So Krishna got his salt. See? In this way, everything was arranged. So, by transcendental arrangement, the Goswamis built the temples on the strength of their purity, on the strength of their dedication to Krishna. Krishna made arrangements. And ultimately, that is how a temple is built. It is not by mundane calculation. Of course, we have a plan, there is no doubt about it. We have a plan, but then ultimately, Krishna enters into the plan and it becomes magic and mystical. And then it is done. It is done on the sincere desire of the devotees to serve. It is done on the strength of purity. It is happening because the devotees are following nicely. Not half-half. We follow Monday, but Tuesday we have vacation. By Monday we are very strict, very, every Monday, too much strict. Tuesday, Sunday also everyone can see, Monday still, but Tuesday vacation. Now what to say, Krishna understands, he knows. No, it is 24 hours, 24 hours. It is Kirtaniya Sadahari, it is to always glorify Krishna, Kirti, the fame of Krishna. The fame of Krishna must be spoken everywhere, loudly and clearly. We must remember it, we must hear it. This is our principal means of worship. to glorify Krishna, to hear the fame of Krishna.
Because
it is said that the name of Krishna is more merciful than the form of Krishna. We may go before the deity of Krishna and we may pray. But if we are making some offense in front of the form of Krishna, the mercy will not come. But if before the name, offense is not considered. You see. Therefore it is said the name is more merciful than the form of Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Gitavali like that. So that's an important point, because in this age we need all the mercy we can get. So we should not underestimate the need of the name, fame and glories of Krishna. We must hear about Krishna, must chant the name of Krishna. Sankirtan means in Sangha to glorify Krishna together. That is our aim. So in one sense, we are today meeting in a hall. It's not a temple. It's just a hall. We have a temporary altar quickly made before the program. It went in the back of the car and then reached here just in time. It was a rush. And then put it all nicely and decoration at the door. Everything was... And in that way, the hall, some verses were stuck on the wall. The Bhagavad Gita to Srila Prabhupada's picture. And in the end, the hall was transformed into a spiritual place. Yes. And that was the beginning. And then it's simply the glorification of Krishna that changes everything. And that but we are spending our time like that. But Kirtaniya Sadahari, all our time should be spent like that, not only sometimes. No, that is life. We should live like that. A life. Our home should be a place to glorify Krishna. And we are here in the hall, which is decorated, and here we glorify Krishna. And then we must make sure that the car is also a place where we worship Krishna. So we have a little, even a little altar in the car. Everywhere, from place to place, that is the way a devotee lives. Always. Always worshiping Krishna. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu. That actually to always remember Krishna, to never forget him, that is the aim of all the rules of the scripture. So scripture has so many rules, but the aim of all these rules is to always worship Krishna. Oh yeah. Say, yeah, but it is also nice. Because Krishna is is exciting. There are many nice things done by Krishna. There is politics, if you like it. Yeah. So everyone likes little politics, especially when you're making it yourself. Krishna also got caught up in politics sometimes, like in the, we see in the whole battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna says, I will not fight to Duryodhana. You choose. You can have either my army or you can have me, but I will not fight. Yes, he didn't fight, but he made politics. One day Duryodhana went to Bhishma and he said, you are not really fighting. You're actually not really fighting, you are sparing your grandsons. So you're making a show of fighting, but if you would really fight, they would not be able to win. So Bhishmadev was being challenged like this. So Bhishmadev, he said, you are challenging me. All right, tomorrow I will kill the Pandavas. He said, with these five arrows, he pulled out five arrows. With these five arrows, I will kill the Pandavas. So Duryodhana knew very well that Krishna was tricky and that something could happen. So Duryodhana said, Grandfather, give me these five arrows. I will look after them tonight. I will give them back to you tomorrow. And Duryodhana said, nothing can happen with me. Huh? But then Arjuna came in the night, sent by Krishna. And, well, I'll take you back to another story. This story goes back some years earlier, at the time when the Pandavas had been banished to the forest, you may remember. And then, you know, the Pandavas had already been banished for 12 years. So one day Karna came to Duryodhana. And Duryodhana was now seated on the throne for 12 years. So, you know, when you sit on a particular position for 12 years, you kind of get settled, you know. So Duryodhana was getting quite settled, and it showed everywhere. He looked quite wealthy now and successful. So Karna said, you know, recently some spies told me where the Pandavas are. And I had this idea, and I think you might like it. Duryodhana said, oh, tell me, what is it? He said, you know, what if we go there, you know what I mean? We go to this place where the Pandavas are, and we just go there, and we take all our opulent chariots, and you take all your queens, and you dress them up at their best, you know what I mean? And then we just drive through that forest, and then the Pandavas, oh, you know, they will turn green of envy when they see, you know, how successful we are. Duryodhana said, this is a brilliant idea. This is brilliant. I mean, I could have almost thought of this myself. Let us go immediately. So, make all the arrangements, and all the arrangements were made, and a royal procession went towards that forest. Then on the way, they came past one lake, and this personality, a Gandharva, appeared there and said, stop. So Duryodhana's coming there with a big army, and one person says, stop. So Duryodhana says, listen. You see who's behind me. Get out of the way before these elephants step on you. So, you know, the Gandharva kind of didn't like that very much. So it turned into a fight, a huge fight. And yes, not only one Gandharva, but a whole bunch of Gandharvas were fighting. And the Kurus, they had a hard time. And even Karna had to run for his life. So meanwhile, the Pandavas nearby in the forest, they heard the news. And Bhima was saying, hey, see what's happening. These Gandharvas, they're doing us a big favor. They're getting rid of Duryodhana. Fantastic. And Karna as well. And the others also, Arjuna said, yeah, this is pretty good. So they were enjoying the match. And then Yudhisthira says, no. 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 He says, no. He said, amongst us, there are Kurus and Pandavas. But for the world, we are all Kurus. And if anyone attacks anyone of our family, we must defend him. And the other four Pandavas in one word said, defend Duryodhana? And Yudhisthira said, yes, it is our duty. And then Yudhisthira said, but I am very busy with the yajna right now, so I cannot go, so you go. So that was really getting too much. But anyway, they went. Bhima was still grumbling a little bit, you know, under his breath. But anyway, they were going. And when they came there, it was a major, major fight, and the Gandharvas had just arrested Duryodhana. They just grabbed him. So Arjun came, took his arrow, and ordered them, release him immediately. So then the Gandharvas tried to escape and took Duryodhana up into the air. Then Arjun shot so many arrows so fast that it made a net in the sky, and the Gandharvas couldn't get through. And then that net came down, and then the Gandharvas were there. And then Arjun said, "So, return Duryodhana right now." And then the Gandharva said, "Well, we were only trying to help you, you know." But anyway, so in this way, Duryodhana was given his freedom. And then, you know, Duryodhana's life was saved in this way. Duryodhana, you know, according to Kshatriya code, went before Arjuna. He did not look him in the eye. He just looked down at the ground and said, "All right, you saved my life. Ask any boon you want." And Arjuna said, "No, that's all right. I'll ask for it later." And time went by. Years went by. And then that night came that Duryodhana had the five arrows of Krishna then. And just Krishna told Arjuna. Krishna said, "Arjuna, why don't you go to the camp of Duryodhana tonight?" Yes, he has these five arrows that are Bhishma's arrows, and Bhishma will kill all of you with these arrows tomorrow. So why don't you go to Duryodhana and ask him for that boon?" So Duryodhana came, said so. Arjuna came. Long story. Mahabharata goes like that. Arjuna came to the camp of Duryodhana, and Duryodhana says, "Oh, Arjuna, you have come. You want something? I guess you have come for a reason. Huh? What is it you want? You want the kingdom without a fight?" Arjuna said, no, that's all right. You know, that's all right. We'll fight." He said, but then what you want? He said, "No. We'll fight. Just give me those five arrows." And Duryodhana gave him the five arrows. And the next morning, Bhishmadev asked for the five arrows. And then the arrows were gone. And Bhishmadev understood. It's Krishna. It's Krishna who did it. It's Krishna's politics. He understood. This is Krishna's politics. Just see. You know? Said like, "I had vowed that I would kill the Pandavas tomorrow, and he made me break his vow. Now I will make him break his vow." And then that day, Bhishma fought without those special arrows, but he fought so powerful, and he stood in front of Arjuna, and he was about to kill him. He would have killed him, and Krishna had to break that vow that he would not fight and take the chariot wheel, and he ran. And then Bhishma did, "Yes, kill me, my lord." Then Krishna put down the wheel. So Bhishma was very satisfied. I showed him for his politics. So you see, that Krishna also makes politics. But his politics is very enjoyable. It's nice politics. We like it very much. So in this way, we can just see how the devotees of Krishna, they win because Krishna is on their side. Yata Krishna Yogeshwara Tata Sri Vijayo Bhutir Bhutir Duva Bhutir Mama. It is wherever there is Krishna, the supreme master of all mystics, there will be victory, there will be wealth, there will be all success. There's no doubt about it. So that is the only way that such things are achieved, that the impossible is done. That is why Srila Prabhupada made that favorite statement. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Prabhupada asked for the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all 17 volumes, to be printed very quickly. So he had been translating, but the printers were way behind, his BBT staff. They were behind. Many manuscripts were just lying, waiting for printing. So Prabhupada told them, we have to print more fast. I mean, this is not very encouraging. He said, they calculated and they like looking at it, you know, and they came back to Prabhupada and said, we can do one volume every month. So in 1.5 years, we can be finished. Prabhupada said, no, I want all of them, all 17 volumes in 2 months. And then Radha Vallabha, the manager of the BBT, said, but that's impossible. And then his guru said, impossible is the word in a fool's dictionary. And then they had to do it. And then they had an emergency meeting and they discussed. And they said that, well, okay, we had a meeting and we found a way to do it. But you must allow us to put some photos instead of paintings. Prabhupada said, all right, go ahead. And you should stay for the entire 2 months in case there are any questions on the editing of the book. Prabhupada said, no problem, I will stay. And then the devotees did it. They did it. They worked 24 hours. 24 hours they were working. One editor would be sitting there and fall asleep on his desk and they would take the work away from him and someone else start working. A painter would start his painting and fall asleep next to the painting and in the morning another painter had already finished it. In this way, they worked 24 hours around the clock. And somehow or other, they did it. They finished 17 volumes in 2 months. So Prabhupada proved impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So, Anandis Chintayantumam Yejana Paryupasate Tesam Nijab Yuktanam Yogiksin Vahamyaham. It's a very famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. And there's a short story, and that will be my final story. That story is a story about Arjuna Acharya. Arjuna Acharya was a pandit who was writing a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And as he was writing, he came along this verse, which basically says, I'll carry what you lack, and I'll preserve what you have. Yes. So, when Arjuna Acharya was reading this verse, he was thinking, well, of course Krishna doesn't personally do that. He will make an arrangement for that. And he changed the Sanskrit word from yogakshema vahamyaham to karomiyaham. So he made some scratches in the manuscript and he made a change. After that, after his editing work and his commentary, he was getting ready for purchasing some supplies from the market so that his wife could cook lunch. Right? So he went to the market and he was bringing everything, arranging. And then he didn't come back yet, but instead some boys came and they carried a big bag. And they came to the house, the lady opened the door and they said that we have
Your husband sent us with the supplies. She said, oh, come in, that is very nice, you know. Such nice boys like yourself are bringing these things. Come in, I'll give you something. The boy said, oh no, we cannot come in. I said, oh, it's okay, you can come in. He said, no, we cannot come in. Your husband may come. She said, oh, very, you know, even if he comes, you don't have to be afraid of my husband. He's very nice. He won't beat you. Oh no, one of the boys said, and he showed his back, and the back showed beating marks. And then she said, no, did my husband do that? And then the boys left. So, you know, sometime later, Arjuna Acharya came home, and something extraordinary had happened. His wife had cooked, and she had already eaten before him. I mean, that was like unheard of in those days, right? So he's like totally shocked, you know, like, I mean, what happened? And then when he asked her, what's going on? She wouldn't reply. You know how the ladies get when they get upset, that to a point they stop speaking. You know about that, right? I think so. Most of the married men will know this. I was married also in the past, so I know this very well. My former wife, if I still wasn't getting disturbed by that, would sort of start singing also. So anyway, the ladies have their ways, you know, to get on your nerves. So she was using all these tactics to a point where she wouldn't speak, and Arjuna Acharya finally had to say, what did I do wrong? You know, I mean, whatever it is, please forgive me. If I did anything, I didn't do it intentionally, please forgive me. Then she finally said, please tell me what is wrong. Finally she told, you brute, how could you act in such a way as to beat those boys? Beat those boys? Which boys? The boys that came to the door. One had a dark complexion, one had a light complexion. And yes, you know very well. Said, what boys? She said, you know very well. Huh? The dark boy had beating marks on his back. Then Arjuna Acharya suddenly understood. And he walked to his manuscript. And he saw that the words that he had changed, yogikshema to yogikshema karomyaham, were changed back to yogikshema vahamya. And I personally carry what you lack, and I'll preserve what you have. So then Arjuna Acharya could see Krishna personally comes, he personally came, he personally adjusted things. So it is like that. Krishna will make us successful. As simple as that, as long as we are sincerely trying to serve him. That's the little, those are the small letters in the contract. As long as we sincerely try to serve him, then we will surely be successful, because Krishna will help. And in that way, I think that special times are coming. Radha Gopinath, have a plan. I think so. So any comments, any questions?
Maharaj, you were mentioning that things are not, nothing is impossible in the service of the Lord. And then there's also this consideration, sometimes our mind, cheats us and we try to overdo things. So, I mean, it may be my desire to sense gratification, whereas I'm just giving a hint of, service to the Lord. So how do we differentiate that I'm not trying to overachieve things and I'm just actually in the service of the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the last few days in Mayapur, we have been discussing about Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, he said, I have one problem. I have one problem. He said, I cannot think small. That's what Prabhupada said. And, you know, we were looking at that big temple in Mayapur and how much money it's going to cost and all. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? We don't know how we're going to do it. But only by endeavoring and by Krishna's will. So it takes purity. If you want to achieve something big for Krishna, then it takes purity. Then you have to fully dedicate yourself. So then there's no limit. We see that in Srila Prabhupada, who didn't consider material limits. When he was in New York, he didn't have anything, nothing, right? No money at all. But practically in the very beginning, he already was looking for a big building. Yeah? He wanted a big building, although he didn't have not a cracker. Yeah? But he wanted a big building, somehow or other. Right? And he knew Krishna will. He had that conviction, Krishna will supply. So we have to see. But if we take a partial endeavor in surrender, then we cannot expect that, you know, the golden coins will start raining from the sky. You know, I prayed, and still not coming. No, so the more we give, the more Krishna will reciprocate. Ye yatamam prabhadante tamstabhavajani. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So that's where the problem comes. We are limited in our dedication, and therefore sometimes we also feel that but Krishna is not reciprocating. That's due to our lack of purity. Therefore, when there's a great task, like, okay, in Sydney we want a temple, in Mayapur we want a temple, it's going to be built on the strength of commitment to purity. Yeah? It's like, it's going to be done on the strength of all, or first of all, everyone committing to the four regulative principles and 16 rounds. And if we collectively do that, then we have a foundation. And then if we try to make a plan and work hard, then miracles will happen. Then miracles will happen. But first, purity must be. So that's why these kind of endeavors, you know, they're meant to unite us in our commitment to Krishna. So when we say we're all going to build a temple together, then that basically means that we have to first come up in our spiritual life, all together, as a group. We have to become more united, we have to somehow or other all, make that little more personal commitment, and then we'll find that we'll be able to make a greater group commitment, and then the group dynamics, then Krishna will enter into it and it will happen. That's how it works.
A lot of devotees in that. I've heard some devotees saying that we cannot come into Krishna consciousness 100% just because we are worried we'll be failure in the material platform. For example, a school going student or a uni going student or a professional. I've heard some devotees saying that if we come too much into Krishna consciousness, that we might not be able to achieve what we want to do materially.
Is it true that devotees are failures in materially?
Not necessarily. there are some very highly placed devotees. I remember that in India, I was traveling on the Rajdhani. In the past, we used to travel a lot with the Rajdhani.
So then,
we were on two-tier AC. Yeah? And in those days, members of parliament were also traveling on the Rajdhani, and they had free passage. Right? So I was traveling with the regional secretary of Mayapur on the Rajdhani from Calcutta to Delhi. And then we heard that Tarun Kanti Ghosh, who was the member of parliament for West Bengal, was also on the train. So, okay, we found out what compartment he was, and then we came there in the morning. And he was having a box, a wooden box. And in that box, he had pictures of his deities, and he had all kinds of puja paraphernalia in the box, and some shilas, and he was doing his puja. So, you know, while he was doing his puja, he was saying to us, he said, "Aren't you supposed to chant your rounds? What are you doing here, you know, at this time in the morning, disturbing a man in his puja?" So, Tarun Kanti Ghosh, he was a Vaishnava, and he actually came to power by doing kirtan in the villages. He did Harinam around the villages. And he became a member of parliament. And Prabhupada said he's the highest placed Vaishnava in the government of India. So although he was a politician like that, he never gave up being a devotee. He also owned two newspapers and But I also visited him in his house, and whenever he was there, he was personally worshipping the deities. So this idea that when you become involved as a devotee, you will not be able to function in the world is just another excuse. See, the mind is always looking for some reason to be lazy, so we just found a new excuse. It used to be my bad back, but now it is my Krishna consciousness. You see? Really. Because the truth is that a devotee is a person who can sacrifice and work in dedication. It's not a problem. So there are many devotees who are advanced, who are dedicated, who are working in jobs in the world, and who take the fruits of that labor and offer it to Krishna and for maintenance of the family, like that. See, from your earnings, not a cent should be misspent. So everything should be spent for Krishna conscious things. You maintain a house. In that house should be only Krishna. And or you give it to Krishna for his service. One of the two. That is the real standard. But we don't do that. We don't do that. You see. So that's where our lack of Krishna consciousness shows. Otherwise, to work in a job is no problem. And you say, oh, I have all this mundane association. No problem. I also have mundane association. All day. I'm a sannyasi. All day. Either I travel in a plane full of mundane people. And, you know, it's not always easy. I mean, like in one particular flight, the stewardess, she pushed a meal under my nose right there and says, "Beef or chicken?" And I said, A parachute, please. it's too much, you know? So it's not that it's always so easy where I am, you know, that I'm always with like nice Krishna devotees in a nice Krishna conscious situation. Not at all. I also have to face the material world. Yeah. All the nonsense movies that are playing all around me. You can't help to see it. You don't, you know, there's 20 screens. Yeah? You look there, there's a movie. You look there, there's another one. Wherever you look, you know, you can't sit the whole flight with your eyes closed. So all this, I also have to live in the material world, but we have to be Krishna conscious. So you cannot say, oh, I have to work with all these materialistic people. No, the answer is chant 16 good rounds. Yeah, but I have to work. Yeah, I also have to work. You think swamis don't work. We also work. But I chant my rounds before. Try to chant 16 good rounds at least, so that we are protected. Because you never know what demons can come in. So we need protection. So the protection of the holy name and of reading Prabhupada's books, that will protect us. Of serving the devotees, that will protect us. I have one story. It's a little sad story in a way, but also an instructive story. So there was a devotee who was married, had a family. He was every day worshipping the deities in the temple. He was doing this puja every day for many years, and things were going well. Then one day he went to an astrologer. He was curious. So the astrologer looked at his chart and said, Oh, soon you will leave your family and you will start a new family. He said, oh, come on, man. Rubbish. Yeah? He said, rubbish. And the astrologer said, no, it will happen within 3 months. 3 months went by, 4 months went by, nothing happened. So, you know, sometime later, 6 months later, he passed by that astrologer's place and he said, let me tell him, you know, about his useless astrology. He said, your astrology, you know, said, all your predictions, nothing happened. And the astrologer said, okay, let me do a calculation and find out why. So he did a calculation. He said, the deity that you are worshipping protected you. He said, yeah, well, I could have predicted that also. Anyway, but then something happened, and that somebody made him a business proposal, and it was a good one, so he moved away from the temple where, you know, stopped worshipping the deities and got involved in the business. And then he met this business lady, and then it happened. And in no time, it happened. As soon as he stopped worshipping the deity, it happened. So the astrologer was right. All the time, the deity that he was worshipping had protected him. So just see the power of worshipping the deities. And we think, oh yes, every day we do this puja, ting, 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 ting. Sometimes I'm so tired of it. You know, can't I just sleep one morning? No, must get up, ting, ting, ring the bell, everything. Dagavati, oh, so tired. But just see, the deity that we are worshipping is protecting us. So in that way, we'll be safe. Just worship the deity, chant, read the books. Even if you have to work with demons, no problem. Even if Ravana is personally there, you come in the company and the director's door, the plaque says Ravana. Even then, don't worry. Krishna. Ram. Ram Vijay. Yeah? So we will be protected. Yeah. Mm. So time is gone away just like that. Tomorrow is another day, so I think I'll escape now. Very soon. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Towards our spiritual life, we are trying to be more Krishna conscious every day, but there's still a lot of distractions. Try to chant, try to go to temple, try to be in association with devotees. Still, as you said, there are demons around everywhere. What's the easiest way to remain focused?
Cheap and best.
So that's what we expect from the master.
That's an Indian thing, you know. You always want to pay less. That's what you do. Well, I think in spiritual life, we need to keep ourselves safe, and you have to be conscious of that. You have to think that I am not very powerful spiritually. I'm weak and I'm surrounded by Maya, and Maya is very strong. So I need to look for all kinds of protection. So devotees protect, the Bhagavad Gita protects, prasadam protects, and chanting protects. So one must take shelter of all these things that offer protection. Like I mentioned before, some examples, but actually a devotee is always looking for protection. That is the way to get it, cheaply. Because actually, to tell you the truth, if somehow or other we carry on with this chanting and by following these principles, it will happen automatically. Success guaranteed. Otherwise you get your money back. So success is guaranteed. Yes, yes, yes. And it's not a high investment anyway. From a business family, as you can see. And so we chant. We are with the devotees together. Together we are stronger. But we must always seek that protection. See? I always say the strong devotees, they don't have to go to Mangalartik. It doesn't matter if they go or don't go. Right? The weak devotees, they have to go. Because if they don't go, then they get in trouble. So we should always think, I'm a weak devotee. Therefore, I must always go to Mangalartik. Yeah? So the weak devotees, they must go always. If you say, oh, I'm not so strong, then it means you must always go to Mangalartik for the protection. So at least every weekend, like tomorrow morning.
I've gone a couple of times.
You will be there, huh? I check.
Maharaj, sorry.
Oh, yes.
Like, you just told about the Ravana. It has happened in the office. Sometimes your colleagues show you the bad light. Now, it has happened with me here. So I had two options generally in the office. I am also in a position to show the person in the bad light. Or I can let the person to show me in the bad light, but I can benefit the people to whom she is showing in the bad light.
they will understand what is good and what is bad. So, which is the best option, Maharaj? Thank you, Maharaj.
No, I think if we live for truth and morality, then sometimes we'll get some material disadvantage. It seems like that. But take those things as tests from Krishna. Take those things as tests from Krishna and stick by the principle, because if we do, then surely Krishna will grace us with so much mercy for that. So one should we get in these kind of situations where the Ravanas are pushing us to compromise. And it's true that sometimes there are such bosses that are that don't like, that they have a natural dislike for a devotee, and they'll give him a hard time. But whatever may be, let's not compromise. And surely Krishna will recognize that, even if we struggle for some time, but Krishna will recognize and reciprocate with us. But that takes courage. Right? It does take courage. So yes, life is full of tests like that. Full of tests. And well, we make mistakes also, right? That's the other side of the coin is, sometimes we think afterwards, well, I should have actually done it the other way, or it's like, yeah, we make mistakes. But let us try and really walk the path of the truth according to our principles. I think so. Then we will be victorious. Yeah. And eventually, if the director is called Ravana, well, you may just change company after some time. Possible. Possibly not the best work environment. Sometimes you get the better job offer, but it may be not a good job. I had someone, he got a job offer that 3 times the salary, and then it came out it was weapons. So, but they are not being sold in any inappropriate way or anything like that. Yeah. And he came to me and said, "Should I take that job? And I get three times more." I said, "Don't take it. You know, don't sell your soul to the devil. Right? This is not a good job. You know." Many innocent people will be killed through these weapons. Do not get implicated in sinful activities. So in the professional world, there are many ways that you can get implicated. And of course, Bhagavad Gita also says every work is covered by some fault, and it doesn't mean that one should give it up. But it doesn't mean that we should take, you know, the wrong type of work. I mean, like now India, I'm sorry to say, but is leather exporter number one in the world. And it's a real disgrace. You know, I'm sorry to mention this, but it shows the state of affairs, you know, that number one leather exporter for India, that's like, so at least we should not be part of that. We should not wear it. We should not, you know, not wear a leather jacket or something like that. We should try to live according to our principles, not get compromised for money or... No. Krishna will maintain us. He will. Nāme bhakti pranasyati. My devotee will never perish. He will maintain us. Okay, very last question, yes. And then I'm escaping.
What is the difference between the false attachment to the Lord and the you are loving the God in a very such a nice way, but I suppose that. So how can we differentiate that? How can we, be sincere?
Crocodile tears. Yes. Sentiment is good, of course. It's appreciated, but it must go hand in hand with service. You know, that we have sentiment for the Lord is fine. But sentiment without service is not very important. But when sentiment is combined with service, then that sentiment becomes genuine, right? So it must be connected. Service requires sacrifice. Huh? Like I said, the 16 rounds is our service. It's not easy. Some days it's easy, but many days it's not easy. So there's a sacrifice. Then you can go with some sentiment after the sacrifice. So sacrifice in service. And then the sentiment is nourished. But if it's just sentiment,
Krishna,
you know, that's very nice, but that's not very deep. Because that's not love. You know, it's just like two mothers, you know. One is crying, "Oh, my baby, I love you so much. Oh, my baby, I love you so much," crying. And the baby is also crying. Mother is still crying. And instead of, like, you know, changing the nappy or something like that, you know. Right? Because why is the baby crying? Must be a reason, right? So maybe not time to cry, maybe time to change the nappy. So the love is showing by changing the nappy. Like that. Not by crying, "Oh, my baby. If you only knew how much I love you."
I'm preaching to some other people. They are just coming to Krishna consciousness now. They are just chanting and trying to follow the purpose and the vision. But they are saying, "I'm giving this love and affection. I'm giving the old SRA rice for my Krishna. And he will accept. Who you to, you know, stop me, you know, that and all." I told them, "You eat very nicely, but you are giving the old rice to Krishna. This is not fair."
Correct. Correct.
I know, I can't delay that point. How can I
convince them?
They have a false...
Yes. Yes. So that's... You explain to them, you know, that... Then you get a little technical. You said bhakti is practiced in different levels according to the Shastra. The Kanista, Majam, and Uttam. The Kanista, he has a small corner in the house for Krishna, and the rest of the house, he lives like a king. Yeah? The Majam gives more prominence to Krishna. The Uttam, he gives the house to Krishna, and he lives himself in a small little corner of the house. And it makes the whole house into a temple. So, like, it depends. What is your level of love? All are expressions of love, right? All. But there are levels, right? So your love is now at the initial stages, according to Shastra. And you should develop that love. And by chanting Hare Krishna, your love will grow. That is why it is good that you do everything with love for Krishna. But now it is in the level of the beginning stages of love. It has to mature. And by service and chanting, it will grow and mature, that love. That is what Krishna wants from us. You tell them. And otherwise, you just call me and I tell them on the phone.
Definitely,
you just pass on the phone. "Oh, Swami, we're talking." "Yes, Swami, of course, Swami." "Sorry, Swami. No more. best basmati. Nothing less will do. No old broken knives for Krishna. Hare Krishna. All right, we will all meet again tomorrow, I hope. Krishna willing. Thank you very much for being with us this evening. It was nice to be with you. Hare Krishna.